Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, through Grackle.
Massive confusion, isn't it? Hey, this is Here Be Monster. It's Sunday at 6 p.m. Jack Jodell is with me in Minnesota. This is Gwendolyn H. Berry. I'm on the Atlantic side of South Florida, and we welcome you to a conversational evening. And today the topic is going to be, Jack, we're in the hands of incompetence and greed, aren't we?
Oh, man, it's just unreal. Who would have ever thought, you know?
The Democrats are just as bad at the behest of their right of Dino leadership there from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I mean that very sincerely.
Yeah.
Have just sold the majority of the American people out. That's how I see it. It's a personal opinion.
Well, it's hard to reach any other conclusion the way things have been going and the way that so much has been given to the Republicans without anything in return. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and Jack, what the fuck is a super Congress? Will you tell me where that's in the Constitution, please? Or am I thinking
that's
alone
insane.
It's illegal?
I think it's insane.
Well, and it's frightening, too, because what they're doing is they're creating a branch of the service, not unlike how the NSA came about. And you know what the NSA actually, I mean, damn, honey, I never used to be conspiratorial. But, you know, when the conspiracies start to float up to the surface and say, oh, yeah, this is what it was, you have to really take into consideration just exactly, you know, oh, my gosh, they were right. There are black helicopters over there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, too, what's so downing about this whole thing, what is so depressing, is that we've got a manufactured crisis here.
Right.
They're going to step in and do their very best to take over and Tim Waters, a writer on the blogosphere out there, you know Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Scared Stiff blog. He posed a question in the Here, or not the Here Be Monsters, the Roundtree 7 Journey Room on Facebook. He posed a question. He asked, what would you rename what they are calling in Washington entitlement programs? And the truth is, those are not entitlement programs at all. We pay for those.
That's right. That's right.
And
exactly right.
For them.
Well, it's the latest propaganda doublespeak put up by the Republicans, the very conservative Tea Party branch, that are trying to make it seem like, oh, well, we're just doing too much for these people, and these people don't deserve it, and we're going to take it back. No, it's crazy.
We voted it in that those monies would be properly channeled and litigated through Congress.
Right.
Litigated long term. That they would be properly distributed through the Congress into the correct programs that have been there since we got rid of that freaking anchor Herbert Hoover.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about, you know, all of the things that come into play when people in this country get down on their knees by the sheer oppression of not having what they need to survive or take care of their families.
Right.
And what's wrong with that? Every other civilized country on this planet is just the same. And they're socialist countries, by the way.
Well, even Otto von Bismarck, conservative Otto von Bismarck, in 1871 in Germany, of all places, started a social welfare program, and it has served that country ever since very well.
Yeah.
And other iterations of it have appeared in all other countries. We were very late to adopt anything like that in the Depression era, We were 60 years behind the times then.
Well, and here's the funny, the not so funny part about this, and I feel like I've been trained up very well, as they say, by Pinko the Bear, because I'm going to tell you, it was in February of 1933 in Berlin that certain parties burned the parliament in an atmosphere of crisis. The middle class were being uprooted and slammed about in Germany by the economy and by the wars and by every other faction. And do you know what Hitler used as a blame for all of this to usher himself into power? And
well, he blamed it on the communists. He blamed it on the leftists.
Right.
Yep.
So socialism, and I mean, I'm uber left because there just doesn't seem any sanity other than that these days.
Right.
It used to be just plain old liberal in this country, but now it's uber left or communist. Hence folks like Brad Holhutter are calling himself Pinko, you know, when basically he's someone who is for the community, taking care of and servicing the people, as well as the people servicing the country.
Right. Well, you know let's face it, capitalism is at the root of all this evil. And, you know, I grew up a capitalist. I believed in the way things were. But, you know, the way they are today are not the same as they were for many, many, many years prior to now. In the old days, the rich industrialists and all the uber rich knew how to control their greed. And they, yes, they were rich and they were well-to-do, but they always made sure that, you know, from the Depression era onward, that workers were able to make a good, decent living and be able to take a vacation once in a while, not have to work three jobs to make ends meet. No, something's gone radically wrong in the last 30 years.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You do know why. It's because the Democrats, under the power gained by FDR and other you know, in that whole Democratic field there, they ushered in an era of strong unionization.
Yes. Yes.
And large industry.
Right.
And this is what is being taken apart. We're watching the dismantling of America before our eyes right now.
Well, it started under Ronald Reagan, and it's reached its peak today. And it's a very, very bad scenario for everybody, not just poor and working people. It's a bad scenario for everybody because it, you know, a rising tide raises all boats, you know. And the rising tide of good, fair wages in this country were begun by labor union pressure, and they served the country very well for 40, 50 years. And all of a sudden, in Reagan's era, oh, we have to get rid of these nasty unions. They're so greedy. And, oh, look at these terrible salaries people are getting paid. Let's cut them back. Let's export all our goods to China, or all our plants to China. Let's import all kinds of cheap goods, and let's undercut American workers and American factories, and let's do it cheaply. And the end result has been what we have today. High unemployment, bad wages, stagnant wages, and a tiny, tiny few making billions of dollars that they never would have made in previous eras.
Well, it's quite true, and we can thank the latter half of the latter half of the last century, and basically the Democrats who have been in office the last two terms for deregulating, along with the they're just nothing but uber rich themselves, and they
well they are. I mean, Congress is out of touch, you know. In my blog, many times at the beginning of the last Congress, I illustrated every single congressperson in the country, and I listed their professions and what they came from, and I can count on the fingers of one hand the amount of people who came from poverty or who came from very modest backgrounds. Everybody else was a rich kid or struck it rich somehow, or was a lawyer, had a high powered income for their career. I mean, you know, it's just a joke. They're so out of touch with people, they have no clue. in Democrats and Republicans.
It seems to me that basically, I mean, take a look at the example of what's prime in the races right now.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the educational standards of
mm-hmm.
someone like Michelle Bachmann.
Oh.
She went to a Faupaw college and became a tax attorney.
Yeah, right.
And she can't carry common sense in a bucket across the room.
Yeah, and she's better than Sarah Palin that a lot of people are taking seriously. What a joke.
It's quite true. I mean, nobody is giving, you know, today, breaking down the monetary fixture on all of this, just in dollars and cents, which
mm-hmm.
common, you know, the logics of this.
Mm-hmm.
Over on Roundtree 7, Krell posted a wonderful piece. I'm trying to bring it up. I'm
mm-hmm.
having this slow
computer syndrome.
I'm having slow computer syndrome. But he basically spoke in terms of, you know, the kind of money they're talking about us having to replace on certain levels. It's ridiculous what they're saying.
CEOs making 400 times the amount of the lowest paid employee in the company, that never used to be. That's insane, and that only happens here in this country. CEO pay is up all over the world, but it's not. It's only up a certain amount in other countries. Here, they don't allow it. But here, anything goes. The sky's the limit, and do whatever you can to get as much as you can, and to hell with everybody else. There's something wrong with that, and that's a failure of American capitalism. That's overreaching, and it needs to be regulated. And that we've done away with a lot of regulation at Republican pressure and Democratic compliance, and that's why we're in the boat we're in right now. That's sinking. Let's be honest. It's sinking.
It is. Like I said, they're dismantling America right in front of us. And
yeah.
They're doing it under the guise of saying, you know, we're the patriotic clan, and they
A debt they created, and now, we're too in debt now. A debt they created, and now we're too in debt. Give me a break, you know? Yes,
yeah,
we spent more than we needed to, and we are in debt. There's no doubt about that. There's no argument there. But let's get real here. How do they want to solve this debt problem? They want to put all the burden for curing it on the back of the middle class and the poor. There's something real wrong with that.
And there is. There's something very wrong with it. But even worse, why is a certain portion of this country supporting that kind of insanity?
Well, they're exposed to a lot of, you know, out-and-out bullshit on Fox News and in major media. I mean, let's face it, six main companies own all the major media outlets in the entire country. That includes newspapers, magazines, everything. I mean, you got to look far and wide to find something that's really true and totally impartial that isn't all tainted with corporatism. I mean, it's almost impossible to find in this country.
That's quite true. I think we have Brian Stetton online. Is that you, Brian?
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. How
are
you?
It's been a little while. I'm doing well.
It has.
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear from you. What do you think about what's going on here in the Capitol right now?
I just find it very surrealistic. And, but it's amazing how much the news has sort of whitewashed everything, and corporate sponsored media sort of normalized everything.
Because yeah,
essentially, it's the wealthy elite telling America to cut entitlements,
mm-hmm.
The social safety net, and so forth, because we don't want to pay for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, we'll crash the entire system. We don't care. We have enough money.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a surrealistic. You know,
yeah.
You would think that would drive people mad into the streets going after the elite.
You would.
Yep.
But
yeah.
But no, not in this country. It's crazy.
The country is extremely polarized politically, in great part because of the media and how it mm-hmm. functions. So it's done a very successful role in serving the elite.
Right.
It's
the failure of capitalism, let's face it. Capitalism has failed this country. Oh, yes, it's created a lot of wealth here and there and everywhere, but it's also created a lot of misery and poverty, and it's unnecessary. And it's just an extreme on the part of the wealthy right now that's screwing everybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is no shared sacrifice.
Right.
Obviously. I mean, there is no talks about decreasing the military. Actually, they increased the military budget $17 billion before mm-hmm. this debt ceiling issue even became something to talk about.
Right.
Which that frankly is amazing, and that more or less proves the main function of the Department of Defense is not protection of American citizens, but mainly to protect the assets and investments of the elite overseas,
mm-hmm.
of the elite overseas, their overseas assets, as well as obviously to drive cash flow into those multinational corporations that are part of the military-industrial complex.
Right.
You've got it down, man. It's rather distressing. Loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. No, we can't go back to the tax rates they had before,
and which weren't bad anyway, compared with the rest of the world. What a joke, you know?
Yeah.
What a joke.
So basically, it's a socialism for the elite and free market for everybody else.
Exactly.
It's a bizarre type of tough love.
Yes.
And,
yep.
I like the way you said that.
It's not even tough love. It's not. It's not love. That's not love. I'm sorry.
No.
That came without a kiss.
Jeff, gentlemen, I got to ask you, what is this all catalyzing? Because there's way too much tinder here. Something's got to give.
Yeah, something will too.
On a global basis, also, I mean, they're not just dicking around with the American economy here. The markets abroad and in the Far East at the end of last week were paying a heavy price for this manufactured crisis in Washington.
Well,
I blame the leadership on all levels from the top down on this one. It's totally
same here.
This is truly a global phenomenon, though. I mean, it's the wealthy elite around the world have gotten together.
Yes,
I'm not a
agreed.
Big conspiracy idiot, but I'll tell you what. There's all kinds of evidence that these guys are working in collusion with each other, and they're trying to screw everybody through,
agreed.
You know, things like the WTO and the IMF and all of these things, man. All they do is create poverty and for the many, and create a tiny bit of wealth for the very or a huge amount of wealth for a very tiny few. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, we're not Greece. Unbelievable that the ratings agencies are threatening a downgrade.
Oh.
First of all, I don't know how they have any credibility. These are the same ratings agencies that gave all that collateralized mortgage obligation paper
mm-hmm.
and all the derivatives that were made based on it and the credit default swaps, AAA ratings right
mm-hmm.
until they gave them high ratings right until the financial crisis of 2 years
mm-hmm.
ago
yeah.
when all that paper blew up. So
mm-hmm.
they have credibility on rating our government.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, we have the wealth. It's all on corporate balance sheets. Look at the cash on the corporate balance sheets.
Oh, they're sitting on so much cash right now, it's unbelievable.
There than it's in the Treasury.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Apple has more on its balance sheets than our Treasury does. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
the wealth
that was
is here.
Incredible to see that. That was incredible to see that.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all.
There was a title I read first thing this morning. It said, budget cuts, ? Hell, we've lost more money than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite true. I know that David was planning on calling in, Crow, who wrote that, to contribute today. He's on his way by car, so
mm-hmm.
I think he will probably call
tell
in
us about that,
later.
Yeah.
But the
Good.
You know, he had some wonderful pointers there. And what is going to happen tomorrow morning, though, or actually within a few hours? Brian, maybe you have a better...
Congress is going to meet and vote tonight, you think?
Well, they've been talking about it, but they don't have a consensus there going on
right yet.
And within, I think, the next 4 or 5 hours, markets are going to begin to open on the other side of the world, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wall Street elite don't want to crash the markets.
No, right.
So I don't think they're going to let it go to the fall. Just the Tea Party. Yeah, the Tea Party.
crazy.
It's kind of fascinating, actually, because corporate America created the Tea Party.
Right.
And the Tea Party is sort of like Frankenstein's monster.
It is.
I mean, Frankenstein created it, and now it's like, you know, back, and it's not going back.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
they'd love to see a default because, I mean, they feel it's
they're trying to balance all this manufactured crisis on the backs of working people, the poor, and old people, and you know, that's immoral. It's just immoral, period. And the only way out of our mess is to start taxing the rich. And God damn it, the rest of the world pays about 40% to 50%, and sometimes even more than that, at the highest levels. And we're pissing and moaning I lost my earpiece here.
3%, 4%?
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. It's insane. It's just insane. These people are so damn greedy and short-sighted, it's unbelievable.
What's going to happen though is that if it plays out until the second, which is Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and it's still there's nothing. I mean, now can anybody explain to me why President Obama cannot use the 14th Amendment
He's a wimp. Let's face it.
Doesn't want to.
The guy's a wimp. He doesn't want to. He wants Congress to do it all. You know?
You said it. No, it's not that he wants Congress to do it. It's that I really think that he's playing into a corporate field. I think he is a corporatist. And the crisis that will emerge from this is going to also help him. I think it must be that it's going to help him wipe his slate clean of certain incidents and events that have gone out on outside this country,
mm-hmm.
of which some are coming up now. Some are actually being revealed in the news, and it's the news outside of this country for the most part where it's happening. Ask Brian about that. My gosh,
mm-hmm.
he's got his eye on all of this. I watch mm-hmm. his postings a lot of mm-hmm. times.
Yep.
Oh, the Pakistani group on Facebook, you mean, and so forth?
Well, yes, and also you've posted in other places, and I've seen some of the stuff you've been posting about incidents that are going on outside of this country. And
we live in a glass bubble, let's face it. We live in a glass bubble.
Yeah.
And most people don't have a clue what's going on outside of our borders, and most people don't even want to know. It's so unbelievable.
I mean, the war in Libya is, that is really no better than the war in Iraq.
Exactly.
Actually, and the liberals are kind of caught in the quandary, apologizing for it and trying to portray it as something different. And they can't.
Yep.
They simply can't.
Yep.
I mean, now it's rather than Saddam Hussein, it's Gaddafi. I mean, it may have started with a genuine humanitarian issue in terms of his troops attacking protesters, but it seems
right.
like the majority of his people really don't want this war.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're not happy with what's going on.
No, and it's just it's turned into another way to bathe the defense contractors with more money and keep the war going, boys, at all costs. You know, where's the next one
going to
be?
The machine has to keep going.
The
next one is possibly Iran.
Yeah, okay. That's You know, I would have said, a year ago, I would have said, Brian, that, oh, you're just reaching, la, 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 going on down that road. But the truth is, and how it's been revealed throughout the past year pretty plainly, is that war seems to be number one on the forefront here in American diplomacy. And even with Hillary Clinton flying around the world at a breakneck speed, and placing on the table all of these, I'm not going to condemn her wholeheartedly, but she's placed all of this stuff on the table diplomatically and been in and out of so many rooms all around the world. What are they doing? What is the overall position of this country in the moment as far as mere existence?
Profit. That's it. That's all
you.
We give a shit
thank
about.
You.
We want more money.
Thank you.
Yep.
I mean, the fact of the matter is we're facing issues that could very well end us as a species.
Right.
You know, global climate change, proliferation of nuclear weapons.
But we're protecting special interests, and we perpetuate our own problem.
Yeah, well, as you said, the failure of capitalism.
Yep.
And
you know, very strong institutional structures that need to be broken up. And frankly, I don't see how it can be done politically or by an electoral vote.
Nope.
I mean, it's not possible. I mean, to win an election takes massive amounts of money, and people end up having to drink from the corporate pool.
Sure.
So, I mean, how are you going to turn around and then bite the hand that...
Yeah, you know, let's look at what's happened recently. The Supreme Court with that terrible decision, you know, basically cementing the role of corporations into elections. I mean, are we ever going to escape this madness? I don't know. I don't think so.
I can't see how it can be done by ordinary means.
Nope, there's going to have to be some big, huge groundswell of something and completely revamp everything, because I'll tell you what, it is severely broken right now, and I don't think it's beyond the Band-Aid stage. Forget the Band-Aids, people. We got to cut that limb off.
The top, all across the top of America, or I'm sorry, Africa, country after country has stood up and toppled for however long, and I don't want to get into a dialogue about whether they're successful or not, but they have pushed out of office all of these tyrannical regimes, and they're still doing it. They're still working on it. When we step into the foray like Libya, it becomes something, I agree, wholly other than what was begun by the people in the country. However, why is this not happening here in this country? Yeah, I know I sound like I'm preaching sedition or something. What I'm saying is, so, you know, like the Tea Party said, we do have certain rights. I mean, we're the ones who elect these people into office, and yet we have to bow to the majority, and the majority aren't getting the absolute message here.
Well, I think the Tea Party is a manifestation of a very slick and very subtle and very gradual coup d'etat by the upper elite in this country, and I think they're winning the war big time.
Yeah, that's been proven. I mean, the evidence of the very right-wing, rich libertarian Koch brothers. And
millions
of dollars they put into media
for
that.
And just wait till 2012. Just wait till the shit we're going to see on the screen this next year.
It is amazing when you see representatives of Tea Party groups being interviewed in the... You know, they're well suited, well spoken people. They're hardly, you know, the average.
They're not the guy with the hole in his shirt down the street. No way.
It's kind of bizarre.
I would beg to differ a little on that here and there, but I have to ask you. And who are they voting against? Who are they fighting against?
They want total control for the Koch brothers.
Jack, I have to put it to you. That fucking... Excuse me. Let me back that one up. The president of the United States is just as culpable in all of this as far as corporatist politics as the Koch brothers and the Tea Party, and yet he's giving them the red carpet. So
he's always been walking the party to the right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was doing that throughout the entire healthcare debate.
Yeah.
He was pretty. We're the only country that has it written in law not to negotiate for lower drug prices.
Right.
I mean, that was, you know, he gave that away off the table even before the discussion began.
Mm-hmm.
Public option went shortly thereafter.
Yep.
And the unions that were fighting so hard for, three decades for their Cadillac plans, that was what had to be taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was, he really disillusioned a lot of people, and that was in great part responsible for the
I wouldn't say disillusioned. I'd say betrayed. I would say betrayed.
I think, Jack, you are the person to speak to this, because basically you have been a supporter of the president right along. You've looked for every positive action that he's taken. You've always tried to be supportive, and in the last month or two, you have come around and said, "Oh my God!"
Well, the evidence strongly suggests that we've been duped, and not that it was a conscious thing. I think it was done out of weakness on his part. I really do, and I think he's just deadly afraid of all these. He likes the big money out of Wall Street. He got a little taste of it running in 2008. And he wants that stuff, and he wants to stay in power. And it's typical power game all over again. Huh?
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that'll keep him in power, really, is large sums of money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
People ask, where have all the moderate Republicans gone? And it's pretty obvious. They're now the Democrats. And the Republicans have become
That's about right.
Well, I don't know how far that goes, but it sounds right. I have to ask you, Jack, what do you think is going to happen to the grassroots, the grassroots collectives that were the ones who really put Obama over the top with their,
so many of those people are so angry right now.
I hope
they don't stay home, but what choice do they have? Now, I saw something on the TV earlier this week that sounded hopeful, but I think it's too late. It's called American Select, and it's a website you can go to that's advocating a third party primary challenge to Obama. And from the way I gathered, I haven't gone there yet, but I'm going to take a look at it. The way I gather, most of those people favor taxing the rich more. All the things Obama campaigned on. That's what people favor.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see a candidate actually win the presidency, coming out of something like that and carrying a lot of people into Congress with them.
Yeah, no, the government rarely listens to the public opinion, does it? It's, public opinion has been against the wars, and we continue on with them. Public opinion has been in favor of taxing the wealthier figures.
Yeah,
70%,
and that gets thrown out the door.
5% in the poll, out the door. I recall with the public option, public opinion was definitely
was for that.
There.
That's right.
The public opinion fell apart when the public option was taken off the table. I was seeing 60%, 70%.
And it was taken off the table because of massive pressure from the Koch brothers and those kind of people.
Yep. As soon as it was taken off the table, public opinion for health care reform dropped to like 51, 52%. It just dropped like a rock.
Right.
Because people just didn't understand, what is it then if it's not with...
they started calling it Obamacare, which was a misnomer. But what they want to do is they just want to throw it all together and have things be exactly the way they were. That's what they want.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they're going to succeed too. You wait and see. Our backs are against the wall, gang, big time.
Yeah.
You know
the other
thing I'd like to point out here too, gentlemen, is this because I've been. People are, especially on Facebook and posting in the blogs, people are disagreeing with one another. Friends, old friends, are parting ways over this. This is really
That's tragic.
Isolating America. polarizing. It's been a part of my weekend this weekend.
And I hate seeing the left get splintered and disintegrate like that, because you know what that means? That means the right swoops in with some minority or plurality candidate like Pawlenty did in this state so ridiculously. But, you know, that's what happens. The right wing is just organized enough to swoop in with a plurality candidate and take all the goods. It's just ridiculous.
You're talking to somebody who's sitting in the district of Allen West.
Right.
It's like, I walk with a stutter.
What a kook.
But we just had Michael Hugh in here, and when he heard us talking about Obama, he had to leave because he can't handle it.
God bless him. I understand where he's coming from, and I wish I could be completely pro Obama right now. I just can't right now. It's just I haven't completely abandoned the guy, but I'll tell you what,
I
feel like he's abandoned me. You know.
Well, Brian is a Democrat, not just a supporter, but Brian, you have organized and chair certain Democrat groups, and you
the
are
the Progressive Democrats of America. You mean the
yes, and yeah, and
they're,
you,
well, they're farther
you
left than the party. They keep one foot in, and they're very supportive of the Progressive Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. I think uniformly you can't say they're super supportive of Obama. If there's no progressive alternative, then I'm sure, you know, a lot of them will vote for Obama as the lesser of two evils, but it won't be with enthusiasm. The problem with that, of course, is unenthusiastic voters tend to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we could very well end up with something worse. We'll see what happens. I think a primary challenger would be a very healthy thing. I've seen a number of people call for it.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Nader called for it Friday night.
Yeah, right, with the American Select. That's right.
Yep. And Bernie Sanders called for it, too.
Yep.
Two people that are very progressive and who I always respect.
Yeah,
me
too.
I continue to disagree with people that insist Ralph Nader's bad and then he wrecked the 2000 election. I don't buy that.
Yeah. Well, you know, regardless of that, a primary challenge would force Obama more centrist and to the left. Exactly.
Well, I don't think it's very realistic that there'll be a primary challenge. Oso, is that you?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Well, no,
hi, Oso.
Not if he's ahead of the party. Hello.
Yeah, we'll just have to see.
I'm sick and tired of people blowing Obama. That was kind of the last straw, Mike pulling out of there. You know, we weren't ranting, saying Obama's a bastard. He's, you know, simply stating facts. He did, as Brian elucidated very well, the way he pushed the health care plan, or the health insurance plan, and
right.
He backed it off. He dialed it back somewhat, mm-hmm. And, you know, you did that very... you express yourself very well. You're completely accurate as far as I'm concerned, but yet people still do not want to hear criticism of a Democratic president.
Yeah,
and
I know.
He's not progressive.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He's not even he's a Republican. He's at best, he's a Nixon Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He's center-right.
Nixon was, more liberal. I mean, much more liberal policy came out of Nixon. You had the EPA.
Oh, yeah. He had OSHA.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because when you look at the last three decades, Nixon was probably the most liberal president
Right? Here is something I actually know for sure on the ground level, because my uncle was the congressman who put together the EPA under Nixon, and he actually had to blackmail Nixon into it. That was a political two-step. And I don't know what the ins and outs of it were, but that's my uncle. I heard the talk on the side, and I campaigned for him. Frank Horton out of New York State.
Nixon was very scared of social movements, and there were some strong social movements at the time. But
yeah.
I mean, the point is, if you look at Nixon only in terms of policies, and he was alive today, he would be caucusing with the Progressive Caucus.
Yes, he would.
So
I agree there. Because his diplomacy, which was really his first from my read of him, he basically was about bringing United States into a more holistic relationship with the rest of the globe and
mm-hmm.
winning over those countries that were not, not on board with
mm-hmm.
the capitalist democratic or democracy program, as it were. Losing my capability of putting that, but do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a genius, and he and Kissinger really played a genius hand in playing Russia off against China and vice versa. It was a genius
nasty
move.
Bastards.
Yeah. It was very well done. Yep.
Also, can I ask you, what do you think is going to happen if it goes into Tuesday? Will the president take this in hand or even take it in hand tomorrow? What's your thoughts?
I kind of could agree with what Brian was saying earlier. I think there are elements like the Tea Party would honestly like to see things crash, in my opinion, because they fully buy into disaster capitalism. But,
exactly.
Yeah, but there's so much involved. There's hedge fund people and all that would make money off of that. But your basic, 80% of the, hell, maybe higher than that, the asset market, the people who own stocks and
mm-hmm.
the pension funds.
And bonds, yeah.
Investment firms. A collapse would hurt them badly.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, most of our things like the teachers' funds, the pension funds, those have a certain amount of a portion of their portfolios which have to be AAA rated. So if the treasuries lost that would be devastating to them, and it would really hurt the short-term money markets too. So I still cannot see it happening. I think it may come up to the last minute, but I think the outcome is predetermined. I just cannot see the amount of money involved being allowed to be lost for political reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, this Tea Party, they're a different group. They're funded by the Kochs and people like them. They're a really very different group than we've seen before. They're the epitome of what you get when corporations are able to control elections. And look at who they put in a block of 60 or 70 people that just don't want anything to do with anything except what they want. And, that's not America. That's a dictatorship. That's what they're trying to install.
Like an oligarchy.
Tyrannical.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Plutocracy.
Very tyrannical.
Is an appropriate term,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian, you got that right.
Yeah.
And basically, what will happen once we have to deal with a worse outcome from this? I mean, will people take it into the streets? I think is my question.
It could happen. It could happen. And another thing. Let China keep watching us. Let China, for example, keep watching us. They're building up their military to beat the band. We don't hear about it in our corporatist media, but it's happening. And you let them get the notion that we're too politicized or polarized to effectively mount any kind of campaign anywhere, and they'll be all over the West Coast. I'm guaranteeing you that right now. It won't be long. You know what?
Really
power good. Always invades a vacuum. And if we're going to be vacuous because of our inability to act coherently and together, that's not going to be allowed to stand. There's going to be something going to be occupying that vacuum, and it won't be us.
Well, if the vacuum is created, which I think really that's the whole idea that's going on behind this manipulation and
mm-hmm.
this contrivancy,
mm-hmm.
I think basically they're already starting to do it. They're beginning to do it. Super Congress? What the hell
mm-hmm.
is that? Is this a new way of coming in and taking over? Is this a new form of ushering
this bullshit about you got to have 70 votes to pass a tax increase? What is that crazy stuff? What kind of shit is that? And this newly devised crap of you got to have 60 senators to make a vote go through. That's insane too. It's just insane. Now, why is it in an election somebody can win 51-49, but when it comes to the Congress, it's got to be 60 or better? That's
insane.
Yeah, as far
as I know, Bush never had 60. I think he always had in the 50s.
Exactly.
He was able to enact policy.
Exactly. No, it's insane. It's insane.
It's confusing, too, because you have a huge amount of that faction over there who are just acting like a bunch of xenophobes, you know?
Exactly. Bunch of spoiled children. Yep. Don't want to do anything unless it's their way. It's my way or the highway with those guys every single time.
Anybody know where the Cook Monies have their money? Cook Brothers have their money. I mean, is it in hedge funds? Is it just in their own businesses?
No, it's in gas. It's in natural gas. It's in oil. It's in all kinds of related businesses. They've got their tentacles spread out all over the world everywhere. These guys are giant international crooks. Let's face it.
So then if we were to default, they would take a huge loss, and I can't see that happening.
I don't know that they would. I think they're counting on scooping in and making a big amount of money off this chaos. That's what I think they're trying to do.
I do recall that Eric Cantor held a position in one of the RIDEX mutual funds that shorts U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Treasuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's a bet on this going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I remember that was last week.
And I'm wondering how many others are doing something similar.
Mm-hmm.
That's illegal for an elected official to be doing, isn't it?
Apparently not.
Name the last time a Republican followed the law.
Yeah.
Name the last time a Republican followed the law. Doesn't happen anymore. Laws are for the small people. You know, laws like taxes are for the small people.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Constructively speaking, how do you think people should be acting right now? I mean,
there should be massive protests, but it's not happening. People are just, the news has normalized it so much that the average person is, occasionally glances at the TV and it's like, oh, this is Washington business as usual. And it's
they're just sick of it. They want it to go away. They want to be entertained, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'd say that it truly isn't their fault. My next door neighbor she's a nurse. She's raising a family. She's dealing with stuff in her own home. I mean, there's an emotional crisis is going on. That kind of thing. Whatever. It's like any other house, my own house, any house down the row. But I noticed when we went to the grocery store, we carpool around here, we went to the grocery store yesterday, and she said to me, do you believe what's going on in Washington? What are they thinking? And, you know, I heard that, and so did she, on the aisles of the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? And people talk. They stop and speak.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where the pesto sauce is? Yeah, one thing leads to another. And people do make conversations. I mean, don't you hear people talking when you're getting gas or at the gas station or, you know, even in huge urban areas, people talk to one another.
Well, unfortunately, most people that I hear have bought into this bullshit about you've got to have a smaller government. And the reason we're having so much trouble is the government's too big and all this bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
The government wasn't too big in the 1940s when it rescued the people out of the Depression. The government wasn't too big when it provided for civil rights in the 60s. What is this bullshit about it's too big now? Reagan destroyed this country with its attitude that the government is the baddest thing on earth. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It's a marketing pitch, Jack, and it's sold very well.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So I mean, people don't get it, so they blame the problem on Washington, and they see a black box of bureaucrats that don't really work very hard and push paper. They don't see it as corporations that have basically screwed up the agencies.
Yep.
And made them defamed.
Made them into slaves. Made them into slaves.
It's like raving for the black welfare queens who were collecting all this welfare and driving Cadillacs.
Yeah. What a bunch of crap.
Yeah, but it played into people's biases and the people.
Oh yeah, sure it did. You bet.
Oh yeah,
the left needs to get the message out about the corporate wealth. I mean, really, all these companies are corporate welfare queens.
Yep. Right? Exactly right.
The big oil companies are still getting their subsidies, even though they're the most profitable companies in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That hasn't changed. They couldn't even get that through because it's a tax increase. So I mean, even getting rid of a tax loophole, as the Republicans have managed to successfully sell that to the broad population as a tax increase on you, when it's not.
Yeah, no, it's a bunch of lies.
Or it'll somehow increase your cost of living in some way.
Yeah.
You know, you take away those subsidies and
they'll raise your prices. You'll be paying more at the grocery store. Give me a break.
Yeah, we're doing that anyway.
Well, they're doing that. Yeah.
We have a new caller online and from the room, and I want to welcome her. I don't know your name, Blue Collar Mama.
Hi, Blue Collar Mama. Welcome.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hello. Can you everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
My actual name is Ava, just so everybody knows.
Hi, Ava.
Actually, I wanted to go back to something you guys were talking about a couple minutes ago about, like, regular people, you know, and how they think that they're informed because they watch the news for, like, 5 seconds a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to make an observation from, like, Facebook and, you know, just my regular life. And what I've noticed is that there's two kinds of people so far, especially on the left. It's the people who watch 5 minutes of CNN and think that they're, like, the most friggin' informed people on the planet, and they have no idea what's going on. And then as soon as you tell them what's going on, they get mad at you. And they're not mad at you because you told them the truth. They're mad at you because you told them that they're not informed.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because they're pig-headed.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing I notice in my regular life, and this is more to the more conservative people in my regular life, is that they don't want you to tax the rich because they want to be rich.
Exactly.
Exactly right.
Yep.
You're impugning the American dream is what you're doing. You're impugning the American dream.
That's something that corporate media has successfully sold to us and continues to sell on us on just about every other TV show.
Right.
The idea of the American dream. And you can pretty much get anything is achievable in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
even if
true.
It's not.
It's fine.
Good point, Ava.
I agree with you on that. But see, I could get mad at the marketing people and I could get mad at the advertisers, but you know what? They're doing their job. What I get mad at is the regular people. I get mad at the regular people who can't stop for 5 friggin' seconds out of their fucking pitiful, monotonous lives and just sit back and ask why. Why do I need that? What about me in making me want to be this person? Because it's not that they just want to be rich. They want to be that person.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
What pisses me off.
And I don't want to be that person. I don't want anybody else to be that person either.
Exactly. And what makes me doubly pissed is that I'm a regular. You can't get more regular than me. We're lower middle class people. I don't have a college education. I had a kid when I was 19. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to be so ill-informed, not even non-informed. But not only are they not informed, but when they are a tiny bit informed, they're getting their news from bullshit sources, excuse my language, you know, and then on top of that, you know, you people, not you people, but, you know, in general, you're supposed to be smarter than me, you know, I mean, statistically, and if you look at these stereotypes, you're supposed to be smarter than me, and you're not acting smarter than me, and I get frustrated with that, you know.
Ava, do you have a website?
Well, it's supposed to
be. I blog, it's bluecollarmama.wordpress.com.
Blue Collar Mama?
Yeah, it's on WordPress.
On WordPress, okay.
Blue Collar Mama, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Blue Collar Mama at WordPress.com. Okay, great, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
so I actually have to go. I have to feed my little Blue Collar family.
And I'm going to, too. Well, God bless you for calling in, Ava. We appreciate it. And
yeah,
I'll talk to all of you guys next week,
again.
Too. I'll talk
and
to all of
you
next week, too, folks. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Jack.
And thank all you guys for keeping me informed.
Thank
bye,
you for
bye.
Calling in. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
You have the right
yeah,
attitude.
Thank
you, guys,
you.
My battery is dying.
Later.
I'm going to have to drop, too. Nice talking to you.
Okay, well, so take care, buddy.
Jack. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, Ava. Thank you for calling in. Brian, it looks like you and me right now.
Oh, Jack is on? I thought he was still there.
Yeah, Jack only does an hour, and also is his, I guess his battery has completely
was
gone
about to
down.
Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
would be interesting if we got Sabina on from the Pakistani group on the air. I would love to hear her voice.
I would too, and I've invited her, and she knows. And thank you, Ava, for participating and being there and bringing your opinion, because it comes to bear and it means something to us. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
She's typing to us in the chat room right now. Yeah, Sabina would be great. And there's a couple of other guys that are Mr. Siddiqui is a wonderful poster over there too. I learned so much in those rooms. The not only in the Pakistani, but I've learned when to keep my mouth shut, and I think it takes some, it's basically about knowing when to open your mouth and not, because you have to take into consider there's a difference in culture, first of all, and there's a difference because we don't know, I don't know myself, everything that's going on in their country at the hands of my country. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I learn. I mean, I have typed in where I can. I'm going to step in on this one and say this, but I always try to do it with some sort of consideration and intelligence. I do want to make a point here, and I'm glad you brought that up, how much we really are able to communicate to people on a global basis because of rooms like that. On Facebook,
yeah, no,
on the
it does.
Network.
Yeah, I tried to get some other rooms like that going, but that one seems to have gotten the most traction. But you know, I have to thank Sabina for that, because she's very active in it too.
She is, and yeah. I've invited her on, and she has Skype, and she can call in through Skype. I don't know why she hasn't actually. I'm very
probably a little bit on the shy side. A little bit on the shy side, and perhaps a little bit of paranoia. But maybe she eventually will. Maybe she eventually will. She's a great character. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I would say she's my best Facebook friend, I would say. Definitely.
She is somebody who I've learned a great deal about what's going on over there, and a great deal about getting along with people across
and,
the
and it's,
theater,
it's such a shame
without...
that our media. I mean, it's such a tragedy that our media has done such a swell job of demonizing countries like Pakistan. You know, you'd be afraid to go in there, and it's far from the truth. You know, I mean. You know, I mean,
but,
they're people just like us, and you know, they have fun Saturday nights there, just like you can have one here, and so forth and so forth. I mean, they're cool people. They're just pissed off at American imperialism, and who could blame them? So
no, I agreed.
Know.
Can't do it either. I can't blame them. Yeah. I want to thank also for coming in and sharing with us tonight. I know he might be still listening, but his phone went dead. And I'd hoped that Carl would come in with us, but he basically hasn't gotten home, I don't think, yet. We've been on an hour, and so I guess it's time to wrap it up since it's just seen me. But I wanted to ask you, Brian, do you have any kind of announcements or anything you would like to put out there?
No, I haven't scheduled the next Progressive Democrats of America meeting yet. Because the next one is going to be centered around a guest, and it's either going to be one of the people running against Alan West. One of the goals of our group is going to be to take down that guy.
I'm going to be working for Lois Frankel.
Lois Frankel? Okay.
Yeah. She probably is
the most liberal. Patrick Murphy doesn't sound all that conservative, even though it sounds like just a rich guy that has money to throw into a campaign.
Yeah.
Lois Frankel sounds like the more progressive of the two, but we're going to try to interview them all and see who. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
With Lois Frankel, she's controversial, to say the least. As mayor of West Palm Beach, she was always stepping on somebody's toes. But I tell you, I like what she was able to accomplish in the city of West Palm Beach. Anybody who drives down Clematis and all through downtown area will realize just how much she was able to establish and build down there.
Really?
And, oh, gosh, yeah. The whole, yeah.
Ellen West has to go.
God, yes. You know, I had an experience this week, Brian, calling his offices to make myself known. I call him and Elsie Hastings, you know, to say, hey, this is my opinion as the constituent, you know. And I called West's office in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I've never, and I'm always very cordial and very polite when talking to the politicians' offices or the politicians. And I called Mr. West's office, and I began to give them my opinion, and they were very snotty. They were really, really snotty. I mean,
I've heard it's bad.
And then, though, I called again to establish, and his office phones in Washington have been continually busy for 3 days. So I called down here to his West Palm Beach office, and it sounded, the guy who picked up the phone and took my call sounded like somebody from the party. Do you know what I mean? He was very polite.
Yeah.
He was very entreating. He said that Alan West was going to be supporting the president's plan. He knew every, and he paused and allowed me to speak. He didn't speak over me. He was he sounded like a worker. Do you know a worker bee for the Democrats? And I know a few of them. So I was like, okay,
yeah, so
somebody, you know, Wasserman Schultz has got people walking into the or not Wasserman Schultz, a Republican Party head. Who is that guy? The guy who lost all, I can't remember his name, but it's
I forget his name too. I forget the current head of the RNC. But
he's putting people into place so that these stooges that have been elected in don't sound like such in their home offices, so that they don't sound like such idiots. I'm not sure. There's the guitar playing guy too, and just weird out there.
Well, it's pretty bad. I mean, a member of our group that lives in your district attended one of his town hall meetings, Alan West's town hall meetings. I mean, and it sounds surrealistic. I mean, the guy had right wing militia types outside guarding the place with attack dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all questions had to be written on cards ahead of time, and he cherry picks what he wants to talk about. Very non democratic.
He's
a warmonger. He's doing videos for Heritage Foundation promoting the need to dramatically increase the defense budget, like it needs to be increased.
Yeah, he was
getting
paid by Heritage. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's a thug. He's a thug,
he's a thug.
Brian. That's
he's a thug.
What he is.
He's a thug.
And he's
and he
not very intelligent.
And he said on the air, that he said on the air that the United States should go into Pakistan and attack their nuclear assets. That's all that's needed, and it's a very dangerous statement as far as I'm concerned.
Well, no wonder he was puzzled out of the army.
Especially since I feel close to the people there. And what else? He's also urged, there was a secret meeting of the generals, spurred on primarily by him, investigating the idea of launching an attack in Pakistan. So our country actually did go that far. But they walked out of it, you know, thinking that this is crazy, because the country has 113-plus nuclear bombs. But, I mean, the fact that the fact that they were even spurred on to meet and talk about it, and it was primarily because of Alan West, a guy that was kicked out of the military himself, it boggles the mind. And he should not have any power at all. A very dangerous guy.
And the guy shows absolutely no respect. He's a misogynist, and he's a thug, and he treated Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you know, she may be the party chairman, and she goes down a party line that included, supporting Kendrick Meek, which I did not approve of. But basically, Wasserman Schultz is a good person with the right ideals.
She's a corporatist Democrat here.
She didn't deserve
the slamming that she got from Alan West.
She did not. In a way that she did. And she's taken a rough year, you know. She's been through breast cancer, and Gifford is one of her closest friends. So, I mean, the guy ought to be slammed down really hard. But I have every hope that he will be. But with the way the country is rocking and rolling, it's hard to understand. So groups like your progressives are very important. If any time that you want to email me any kind of bulletin or announcement, please do so, and I will.
I appreciate that. That very much. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have either a guest. One of those people, or possibly somebody from CARE, that's the Council for American Islamic Relations, might come. There's a guy that Miami represents them in South Florida, who actually attended a meeting of one of the town hall meetings of Alan West himself. I assume to confront him about the Islamophobia that Alan West pushes.
Yeah, he does.
And he was telling me how an audience member basically gave him a death threat afterward. That's how Alan West gins up his people. So, I mean, we don't need people like that.
Who is the talk show host local here? What's her name? Starts with an S.
Sandler?
She was hoisted out of an Alan West meeting and taken into custody by the off-duty officer working for West, and I think that it was all dropped, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think she spent one night in jail over it.
Was it that long?
I think it was only $25 to get her out. I think it was all dropped, but I mean, it is ridiculous. She didn't shout anything derogatory. She shouted out an earnest question regarding Alan West's support of the Ryan budget. And her question was, well, how would a woman that's 75 years old or has diabetes be able to get private health insurance with just a $6,000 voucher? That was her exact question, and they hauled her away in handcuffs for it. That's amazing. That guy has got to go, without a doubt. Florida, unfortunately, he's like the worst, and Florida has a lot of bad, very corrupt state. Both parties are very corrupt in this state, unfortunately, and there's corporate lobbyists on every level, so it almost looks over. start somewhere. And why not start with Alan West? The other thing that people need to do is seriously look at their state legislators. And I think FloridaWatch.org has been running a campaign to pink slip Rick Scott. Pink slip.
They have, and they're not the only ones.
But they're one of the ones that come to mind because they're planning the next tranche of the campaign, pink slip Rick's puppets or something like that. They want to try to knock off the Republican state legislatures that basically are just the yes men.
Yeah.
Or Rick Scott.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll do some good because there is no other means to deal with the guy. There is no recall mechanism in this state. And I'm sure there's nothing impeachable going to come about. So we're kind of stuck with this maniac.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. It's pretty
also
bad, isn't it?
it's kind of I was looking at everything as it's been transpiring, and I look more on a national basis than I do on a local basis. In the last few months, I've been neglectful of my state, I guess, and I've also been sort of overwhelmed with keeping business going. So I've had to make some choices, delegate my attention, as it were. And I when I need to actually catch up in, on Florida, I go to Tara Woodruff. Her name's Woodruff, right? Does the Florida liberal, the Florida liberal page over on Facebook. And I also go over to your page.
Oh yes,
and take
she's a cute blonde, isn't she? Yeah, I'm a member of her group. She's she keeps very up to date, definitely.
Yeah, she puts a lot of effort into that, and I really would love to give her some props, as they say here, because she does an excellent job. And you know, when you're doing that because you care, it's very rare that you hear job well done, and it goes out to you too. I've said that recently in the Pakistani room there that you created. I really do appreciate what you've done by creating the group and getting people. And then there's Denny, who I don't know where Denny is, but you know who I'm speaking about, the fellow of the World Encyclopedia page that you brought me into that group. They're against the Gaza.
What's the group called again?
Hang on, I'll get over here and find it real quick. It's So Florida Liberals is Tara. Tara Woodruff's page, Florida Liberals.
Right.
And then I'm looking for the next one. There's Around the World in Zapata Against Israel.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. That's the the pro-Palestinian, basically.
That's correct, and a young man named Denny, he's a friend on Facebook, and he's always posting.
I didn't bring you to that group. Somebody from the Pakistani group must have invited you into that. That's fine. It's a good group.
Well, I was in there before I was in the Pakistani group, so I'm.
Somebody
but I will tell you, I've learned as I was saying, I've learned yet again a great deal from paying attention to this group, and I think it's important to tell folks out there who will come by and take a listen to the show that these places where they can get some expansion, you know, and information.
Yeah.
Are available.
Hopefully some traction will be gained on the Rebuild a Dream campaign that Move On started and other organizations. That does seem to be way far left of the Democratic Party itself. It certainly doesn't seem to have the oversight of Obama's Organizing for America. I mean, it's It focuses on issues that unfortunately are being completely overlooked. So it's an interesting idea. I think their goal is to try to use Tea Party methods on the Democratic Party, which is something I was proposing for some time now, that there should be an attempt to co-opt the Democratic
Party. You and Jack,
Party, but, yeah.
Jack's written about it quite a bit. And you're still not blogging yet. I put
the idea in his head, that's why. I'm sorry, what's that? When?
You're still not blogging yet.
No, I still have my own site yet. So...
I don't know, one
person was going to build a website for me and that fell apart. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Then I'm just on Facebook
for
now.
It's very easy to acquire one over at Google or at WordPress, you know. They're free. And it's just really nice
that.
To look them up. You know, it doesn't take much at all. It, no effort whatsoever. You just pick up.
You need someone to sit down and just show me.
You know what? I think you could cruise right through it yourself.
Probably.
I certainly do appreciate you coming on. Well, Krell is here, and I'm wondering if he'd like to join us in the last dregs of the show here. If he's going to call in, it would certainly be interesting to hear what he has to say on what's going on with this crisis in Washington and how it's going to go, especially since he was posting on it today. But it doesn't look like anyone's calling in. We've had a great run, and we've done about 70 minutes here.
Yeah, we probably should wrap up.
That's true.
Well, always a pleasure. It was I haven't been on for a while, but then you've had a string of guests too. So.
Yes, I have. Always looking for them. You know, I'm thinking it would be a nice show to have you and Tara come on and talk about just what's going on around here in the state of Florida, and get the word out there so people from the state will listen in and get the information that you guys have to offer about what is going on and where people can go to be able to.
I would be learning more about the local politics from her than I would, you know. So I'm hardly the expert, but outside of I mean, you have the mayor, but then you could break it down to even smaller than that. And obviously, they say all politics is local. I mean, regarding local politics, one thing is certain regarding local politics is Republicans did realize how important local politics were. And you could see the tremendous amount of damage they're doing to the nation regarding their governorships. And the laws that they've been putting into effect, such as voter suppression laws, anti-abortion laws, all seem to be working in tandem from the same playbook. And a conservative think tank called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which used to focus on developing laws for conservatives on the national level, is now focused on the state.
Well, it basically, I've been saying all along, conspiracy hell. Yes, there is one going on by the Republicans, and we're watching it play out. Krell, are you with us? David, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Hey, doing fine. Late coming on board, but glad to have you. What is your opinion about the way things are going to play out in the next few days with the markets and with the government?
Well, to me, in my opinion, I think it's a little bit of fabricated theater, but the whole thing is it's perception, and it's perception with the Wall Street and the credit ratings and all these Standard & Poor's, all these guys that rate the bonds. I think that both sides are using the issue a little bit. Obama's using it a little bit to cut back on things that he has always wanted to cut back since he was, before he became president. And the Republicans are, especially the Tea Party caucus, is using it to further their issue. And both of them are making a stalemate, and I think they got it to the point of gamesmanship where they couldn't turn around. And I do think they'll default myself tomorrow. I guess is it tomorrow or the day after? But I think it's – but, you know, I don't think the world's going to end when it happens. I think it's been highly overrated. They say that – and this may be a question for Oso, is they say that some of these ratings – companies that rate the bonds and the treasuries and all that they're going to drop it down from a triple A. But, and this is a question also, is don't we supply, I mean, doesn't the Fed supply money to some of these investment firms? I mean, aren't they giving them this practically 0% interest money so they can turn around and use that money for investment? And,
that
I mean, wouldn't we have some sort of hold on them on and some sort of pressure on them not changing the AAA rating?
Well,
you would say, I mean, it's not so much that. It's a lot of those firms have huge holdings of treasuries as a temporary, I mean, that's their cash holding. So obviously it would be damaging to them if the value of those treasuries would go down, which they would. That's what they mean by interest rates would go up if we declared default. When interest rates go up because the value of the bonds go down.
Yeah, but who determines the value of the bonds?
What's that?
Who determines the value of the bonds?
The market. I mean, they're traded. It's a very active trading market. It trades more than stocks. It's a much bigger size market than the stock market.
Mm-hmm. But aren't they traded based on some sort of measurement standard, like a you know, the AAA rating? I mean, isn't it traded based on that?
Well, yep, rating definitely impacts the value of the bonds, without a doubt. Certainly does with municipal bonds, which is a very thin market. More heavily traded corporate bonds depend very heavily on the rating. If the rating's downgraded, then certain holders immediately sell off and the value goes down. So the same thing would happen with U.S. Treasuries. No doubt.
My question
is, if we declared default, the GDP would shrink anywhere from 5 to 10% within a day. So it would throw us into a recession, possibly a depression, but definitely a recession. It wouldn't be a good thing.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. I know it's important to understand exactly and to anchor what the question essential in Krell and what Krell's asking. But wait a minute. You're telling me we're not in recession right now? We are not in a bad economy right now? That's the other thing. What kind of bullshit is it all based on? I think a lot of this is kabuki theater.
I do too. And the thing is how can all these credit default and these mortgage-backed securities get all these excellent ratings when they weren't?
Right.
I mean, that tells me that it's a standard that is just basically determined by whoever.
Right.
It's just like black magic. So why all of a sudden is this such a critical thing and it's set on a single day that defines this rating? And, it becomes a circular argument when the ratings company can set the ratings, which, again, drives the T-bills or whatever down.
The ratings agencies themselves, I think it's mainly political because, they said we're still a wealthy nation. All that wealth just happens to be more on corporate balance sheets than in the Treasury. But, I mean, so we're not Greece. We're not a country going broke in need of a bailout. So, I mean, what the ratings agencies are threatening is terribly wrong, and they have very little credibility in doing it. It's
exactly. They have zero credibility.
Their
credibility was gone after the crisis, the economic crisis.
You would think. I completely concur. You would think they should.
But all of a sudden,
my
argument is all of a sudden here the some of the most important entities in this crisis. That the ratings are going to go down. The ratings are going to go down. And these are based on an industry that has zero credibility in my mind.
Well, how come the news doesn't actually say that? How come you don't have anybody in the news that talks about the credit ratings going down, bringing up the fact that they should have little credibility because of how they rated the paper before the financial crisis in 2008? You don't hear that brought up in the news because the news is corporate controlled. It's all kind of in cahoots, really only serving the purposes of the corporate elite.
I agree. I think they are in cahoots. I think it's all, if it was really a crisis that was critical, then the U.S. government could apply pressure on these ratings companies to force them not to set the ratings, because ratings absolutely, you know, in my mind, they have no credibility at all anyway, so they might as well just set them at AAA and leave it that way.
So this is how they're going to
extort
more money,
basically. We have the highest credit rating in the world because we've always made the obligation.
Well, basically raising the damn doggone interest levels. Isn't that sort of an extortion on the everyday person?
Yes.
Well, it's certainly going to affect the everyday person.
Yes.
They do that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, because if the base interest rates go high, everything is tied to it. When you get a credit card statement, it tells you what bond indexes
right.
they tie the ratings to. It's
mm-hmm.
you know
so,
mm-hmm. all of
so
that.
So basically,
every payment you make will be affected.
So yeah, that's the point I was coming to. So everybody is going to immediately feel it when those credit when those interest levels get risen. Is that going to move this country towards some kind of more, you know, awakened resolution to change this through the masses?
That's a good question. I mean, I do think it has to get worse to get better.
Bring attention to the situation of a lot of the economy is based on smoke and mirrors and not say tomorrow it goes in default. No factories or anything have closed down that is causing this crisis. No, there's not anything as far as a major upturn or downswing of unemployment. It's just in one day, the smoke and mirrors of a rating can go down and cause this disaster. If that has that much control over the economy, then maybe we should take a look at some of that.
We should have done something in 2008. I mean, look at the
years
that occurred then. I mean, look how many people lost their jobs because of what Goldman Sachs and other companies did, right? Basically, we have recession-level employment levels right now, thanks to Goldman Sachs and other companies like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got bailed out, and their CEOs, what was his name, Lloyd Blankenfeld or Blankenfeed?
Yeah,
something like that. He walked away with a bonus that year.
From the
American people.
Yeah, and all these banks are holding on to money still that they were given in that bailout. And
you talk about welfare queens.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate welfare
queen. I hear that, but this is basically shooting themselves in the foot once again, because when you put the masses of the American public, the American people, into a crisis in order to generate more income in the short term for the corporations, it basically breaks down the economy, it breaks down the structure of people, the crime rate is rising because people are, there's no money.
Going back in 2008, the government should have gone in there, declared the stock worthless, taken over all the bonds, zeroed out the level of bonds, nationalized the banks, and fire all the management. You know, but as soon as you talk about nationalizing anything, you have this idiotic segment that screams communism. Country would be so much better off if we had state-run banks bypassing Wall Street. We could make loans out to people at 2%, 3% rates.
Mm-hmm.
That would really drive the economy. That's not happening.
I think another problem that even goes back earlier is – the fact that the 401k plan started replacing the pension plans, and what that was doing was it was tying people's retirement and their nest eggs into Wall Street gambling and hedging practices.
Capitalist Republican policies,
That's right. Well, it gives them the capital to leverage and you know gamble with and.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine when they're doing that with like investment in corporations' money, but when it's tied to so many people throughout the country, you know, it's great when it's doing okay when you're returning 25%, but when the thing crashes, it kills everybody.
It kills everybody. Well, a lot of people are badly hurt from the series of asset bubble crashes that we've had already, which is the only way, by the way, over the past decade, that they've been able to stave off people going crazy as it is. I mean, overall, over the past decade, CEOs have been steadily increasing their pay. If you go back 30 years, it was the average CEO made 40 times more than his worker, and now it's more like 300 to sometimes 1,000 times, tens of thousands. It matters what the company is. But they hundreds of times on average more than their average worker, and the average worker has seen the amount of money he makes either stagnant or go down and not even keep up with inflation. So even though we've had low inflation from their point of view, it has gone down. So, I mean, there was a period of time where a married couple, the wife could stay home, he could work and still pay mortgage and health insurance for both. Nowadays, both people in the relationship have to work, and you can have the mortgage or the insurance, but not both. So, I mean, it's been a steadily degrade. The only thing that's kept people, you know, happy to a point was we had these periods of asset inflation, and the last one being real estate. But, you know, it doesn't work because the asset bubbles blow up, and we see the result of that now.
Well, real estate
Yeah. You know, they're actually recommending for some people that buying a home is not the right thing. Could you imagine a time in America when they were saying to a just starting out family that buying a home is not the best thing to do?
You know, I'm hearing that among professional people. Professional people are saying that is just that's the thing. You shouldn't buy. You shouldn't get anchored in that, and just rent. Just absolutely rent, because the renting, it might be a little over the top right now in some places, but it's going to even back out pretty soon when people, you know, are needing it so badly. You know, down in Fort Lauderdale, there are people who...
It's amazing how the sales pitch. It's amazing how the sales pitch has changed, because it used to be, why are you renting your pool? That's money going to nothing when some of it could be going into savings when you own a home. Boy, they really changed that sales pitch. It's kind of disgusting. And right now, we still have 10,000 foreclosures occurring every day. And that's how bad it is. I mean, the middle class is disappearing in front of our eyes. You know, so I don't know what'll drive people to go nuts, but I mean...
As soon as it crashes long hard enough that people in masses are going to feel it, and perhaps if the credit rating goes gazee and people are being charged so much more percentage, so huge, a larger percentage, perhaps then, because you know what, it adds up so quick. And people are already, I mean, go to the grocery store. You think you're going to spend $50, you ended up spending $100, you know, easily.
Yeah. Well, the cost of everything is
high. Yeah, it's certainly going to affect a lot of things. I mean, the things that you wouldn't even think about, like because the cost of getting the cheap money for the banks and everything is going to go up. That means that it's going to take a higher credit score to get the loan that you want to get for your car. And then when you get the car, you're going to be paying a higher car payment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to go from that clear to you're going to be paying more for your electric and all that stuff because you...
And people aren't getting paid. People are not getting paid. Their salaries have fallen. People have been threatened, you know, either no job or a cut in pay. And it was all on the last kabuki dance they did in Washington and Wall Street, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a big kabuki dance back when Clinton was in power, and you know, he allowed, you know, most of the jobs in NAFTA over.
Yeah.
So, you know, that decreases the leverage that American worker has when, you know, any kind of manufacturing industry is looking overseas where they can get people, you know, $2 an hour, sometimes less than that, to make their product and ship it back. So,
yeah,
you know, they lost a lot of leverage in their bargaining power. And then, you know, everybody knows where unions have gone.
That's true. That's
all. Well, unions
true.
Have been destroyed. Yeah, unions have
yeah.
been destroyed.
Well,
they,
I don't think they're completely destroyed, but they're being dismantled so quickly that anyone mm-hmm. still left. And it has to work hard to keep it.
It's less than 17% of the private sector, and less than a third of the public sector. Although we see what's going on in the public sector now, so it's
right.
It's not looking good for what's left of unions. And they've been.
It's amazing how effective they've demonized unions. You know,
yeah.
in the press. And, you know, I hear people talking about it, and it usually starts out with, you know, unions were good for one time where they had all the child labor and all this stuff. But nowadays, you know, they're getting paid way too much. And I know someone that makes, you know, $200,000 a year, and all he does is put air in tires. You know, it's just this negative campaigning that's been going on since Reagan.
Child labor.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
anybody taking a look at what certain Republican governors are doing with child labor laws?
Well, it's happened
they're
in a
making,
couple of states.
And
it's already, happened,
Glenn. Yeah.
It's already happened in two states. Two states have rescinded child labor laws. So it's
right.
already happened.
That's
so
just incredible.
We are going backwards. We are going back.
Yeah. Prison labor too. They're starting to use that more and more. You know, some of these private.
Oh, yeah.
They are in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
they still charge you in the state
was,
of Florida for going
one
to
of the,
jail.
One of the biggest users of prison labor has been Raytheon of lately, which is, they use the prison labor to help construct the Patriot missiles, which they sell to the government for $1 million a pop. It's kind of disgusting. So it's it's amazing. Well, of course, we conveniently use the Patriot missiles. Is that what they're called? Yeah, the.
I guess the Patriot missiles.
No, it's those were the first missiles that we lobbed into Libya. Yeah, first weekend.
Those are like a million two a piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's about a million even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's got to happen is we've just got to devalue money. Somehow we've got to have to find a better way.
You know, I think when I was saying initially in my phone, it's perception of a crash that's going to cause the crash. It's not really anything that it's not an actual event that occurs. It's perception of an event.
Yeah.
You know, just like you know, the big crash of 29, the very next day, you know, October 29th it was. The very next day the factories didn't close, but the perception of what was happening, you know, it like feeds upon itself. So I think the thing's going to do the same here on this tomorrow. I think it's going to default, and then their perception of a disaster is what's going to drive
the disaster. The snake is gobbling its own tail, is what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah. Snake is, does that tell you? Mm-hmm. There's some symbolism for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what also bothers me is those people that are frustrated with the system. With both parties, you know, again, because the messaging of the left has gotten, you know, is hardly there. The left has been so demonized over the years, and they've had a very, you know, they've effectively dismantled it, that you have all these people drifting off even further to the right, looking at the likes of Ron Paul, you know, right-wing libertarianism as a possible alternative. And that's a gift to corporate America, because he's promoting, again, complete deregulation, small government, getting rid of regulatory agencies.
Really, he's a thinly veiled promotion for white power is what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, it may sound pretty, you know, matter of fact, too matter of fact out of me, but I think in the end, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, he's unfortunately swayed some peace activists to follow him. It's kind of sad to see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's unfortunate things going on politically everywhere right now. If you turn even a half a degree, you find schisms everywhere.
Yeah. Country's probably
schisms erupting everywhere.
It is. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's we're very, very polarized, very, very schizophrenic, but our perception of it has gotten very, very polarized.
We've been driven there by marketing.
The media is partly, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the marketing has done its job.
We've been pushed into an atmosphere of fear and regret and living in the past.
It's allowing the elite to screw us even harder and everyone sort of not to get upset about it. Because as I said earlier, the rich are basically screaming, you know, cut the entitlements, we don't want to pay for it, or we'll crash the entire system. That should get people upset because they've been so polarized, effectively.
Yeah, the complete dismantling of the New Deal in the Great Society.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And
they've been working on it for a long time.
We're looking at the dismantling of America right before our eyes, and it's happened under the watchful eyes of Democrat presidents.
Well,
you know, we should
dismantling
of
America
be,
for about 85% of it, you know, for 85% of the people. I mean, it's great for the 10% that are making this super kind of money, you know, and then the super rich, the 1%, but it's completely devastating the rest of the country. That's the thing, is that people don't seem to care, the people that are doing this and allowing it to occur.
But the reason that people on the larger scale are not caring is because, well, a lot of them are very ignorant, and they pretend to being intelligent. I'm just being nasty there. But the other part about it, the larger portion of that is on the plate, is that they don't feel it yet. They really haven't felt it yet. They've said, okay, I've taken a little nick here and a little nick there, but nothing overall that's pushing me down, and it's going to get better as soon as I put a better politician in office. Until the boot is on their neck, until the boot is firmly on their neck, it seems that they don't want to be informed. And people are listening to this corporatist media. And
well, that's the thing. The corporatist media is deflecting that so that the boot is not being put on their neck.
They're
demonizing
allowed.
Whoever. You know, they demonize the Democrats or demonize a liberal. Or, you know, Obama was a socialist the very second he walked into office.
It's
centering that anger of all the people to a certain target. And not
well,
allowing
that's
them to.
That's the Fox News, which is extremely right wing. But, I mean, even if you take the so called mainstream media like CNN, I mean, nobody there is allowed to talk about class warfare. You never hear a Democratic politician talk about class warfare. You hear occasionally a Republican politician talk about. You hear a Republican politician basically. Accusing the Democrats of trying to stir up class warfare, and occasionally a super rich person may bring up class warfare in a joking manner. They'll think of accusing me of class warfare. But I mean, you don't hear anybody on the left ever talk about it. It's taken right out. And really, it's something that
I agree with you. I agree with you, Brian. I have said this for the last year, and I agree with you.
You know, I mean, you know, you have 400 families that have more wealth en masse than the bottom 150 million in this country. I mean, that is getting kind of ridiculous.
And that statement right there is just incredible that you would hear it today.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That kind of wealth disproportionate distribution there. is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
not 400,000,
400. It explains a lot.
You know, what do you do with that much wealth? You know, how many cars do you need? You know, what do you...
Yeah. You know, I'm reading more and more some of these security firms that sort of the hot topic now is some private protection, you know, either, you know, starting from guard dogs to, you know, private black ops types for guarding areas. And, you know, I think that's going to get more and more where they have private security firms sort of guarding these gated communities. And, you know, it's the topic has come up in some of these wealthy super rich that... That's one of the things that they're feared.
Even the Miami Police
greatest.
Department had an ad recruiting to was recruiting. Even though they laid off some people, they had an ad recruiting people and trying to get new people to sign up. And they were short of showing the Miami Police as sort of militarized and SWAT like. And the number of SWAT teams has dramatically increased over the past decade. So it does seem like the police is getting more and more militarized. And again, it's mainly not so much for protection for the people, but to protect the assets of the elite.
Oh, did you
so
see in the thing, the Miami Dade paper, where the they're purchasing some drones?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Drones
yeah.
for spying.
Yeah.
You know, the kind that hover above you.
There's two police stations in this country that are going to experiment with buying drones, L.A. and Miami. So we're lucky.
And for the drugs? Is this under the guise of the drug cartels or something?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to use it to peep in the houses that might be growing pot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, if they need
Let's just hope they won't have the missiles with it.
Thermal engineering. Jeez.
You know, pot's such a great threat to our society. You know, it's pretty obvious.
It has therapeutic advantages here, I'll tell you.
But it's very
something's got to give. Something
yeah,
has got to give.
Give.
Gentlemen, I think it's time to give the airwaves back to Blog Talk Radio. Hey, thanks Brian for being here, and David,
thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks Brian. Talk to you.
Thank you. Oh, what's your name again, dude? I'm sorry.
David Williams.
David, it's a pleasure. If you have Facebook,
sometimes Ryan is Crail, but most of the time it's David.
If you have Facebook,
I didn't realize you guys didn't know each other. I'll send you your each other's way. You're in the same room. thank you, gentlemen, very much, and thanks to Oso for coming on and giving us some of his information, and to Jack Jodell in Minnesota, and also to Ava for joining us this evening with this call-in conversation. Here Bay Monsters is liberal or uber left, if you will, talk radio. We come on at 6 p.m. every Sunday evening, not exactly every, but most Sunday evenings, and we're sponsored by Roundtree7.com. That's online publishing for the left-handed side of the country, and you'll find decent information there and some really fabulous writers. And also, Daughters of Isis, Ancestor Romicology. You can find all of the links on our show page, and we thank you once again for listening, all of you folks who have been there and are with us listening, and everyone who's listening in the future some point. Thank you very much for stopping by, and please come back again. Gentlemen, good evening. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday night, and that would be it. We're going to end the episode.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Brian. Good night, David.
Bye.